Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
All right, I have a word for you. But before we get there, I'm going to tell you a little story. A little girl was sitting on her grandfather's lap as he read her a bedtime story. And from time to time, she'd take her eyes off the book and she'd reach up and she'd just touch his wrinkled cheek. And she would alternately stroke her own cheek. And finally, she spoke up and said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" He said, "Yes, sweetheart. God made me a long time ago." "Okay," she paused. "Grandpa, did God make me too?" "Yes, indeed, honey, he did. God made you just a little while ago." Feeling their respective faces again, she observed, "God's getting better at it, isn't he?" There you go. Set free from fear. That's what God wants to do. He wants us to be set free from fear. One acrostic of fear I like is face everything and rise. You know, you can't stop Satan's attacks of fear. Satan is going to attack everybody at one time or another with fear. David even said and wrote in the Psalms, "When I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Fear's going to come in one form or another. But we don't have to stand for the torment. We can deal with it with the Word of God. Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. It means self-control over thoughts. Fear has to come from the outside to someone who's born of God. It doesn't come from the inside. It's not in the born-again spirit. If you're born of the Lord, born of God's Spirit, fear doesn't come from inside. It has to come from outside. Remember Bill Suddeth in the seminar said the number one fear of Christians is a fear of death. A few weeks ago, we had a little discussion going on about that, and we found out that most people here were not afraid of death itself. They were afraid of the process of getting there. And I understand that. I understand that. You know, suffering a long time, disease, losing quality of life. Nobody wants to go through that. But even those thoughts that come to you that may happen to you one day or whatever has to come from the outside, from somewhere, from someone. Because it doesn't come from inside you. Now, the enemy would want you to think that you're thinking about that, but all he can do is suggest a thought to you from the outside, and then if you allow it, that thought can get on the inside of you and cause you all kinds of torment and sleepless nights. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Fear is a form of faith. It's faith in reverse. So fear is faith. It's faith that something bad's going to happen. Okay, if you dwell on it, if you dwell on a fearful thought, if you speak it out of your mouth, then you've activated it legally in your life. You've given a foothold to the enemy, and from a foothold, he'll build a stronghold. And he could just destroy you, and you can literally die of fear. Bible says, Proverbs 18:21, a good one to memorize, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it eat the fruit from your words. Death or life. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts. You must fight thoughts with spoken words. And we illustrated that a couple weeks ago. You cannot fight a fearful thought with a thought. You have to speak. power of a spoken word overpowers a fearful thought. Okay? You with me on that? We don't need to illustrate that again. We did before. Right? Okay, you got it? All right, then we'll move on. Okay? Fear is bondage to a lie. You think about it. It's filled with torment. Fear is bondage to a lie. Satan is a liar. See, everything he says to you is a lie. It sounds like truth, but it's a lie, and it's filled with torment. Fear is not always, but can be a demon. Fear can be a demon spirit sent to torment you, to gain a foothold, and to build a stronghold in your life. Now, we've taught this many times here before, but just for the sake of maybe someone who doesn't know, you are a spirit being. You have a soul. You live in a body. The world looks at things differently. The world looks at you as a body. And you'll often hear even Christian people misinterpret the scripture. They say, well, you know, you're body, soul, and spirit. Well, that's true, but you got the order perverted. God never said you're a body, soul, and spirit. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says you're spirit, soul, and body. And why is that important? What? Yeah. Yeah, because spirit is first. And you are a spirit being. It's going to live forever somewhere. You have a soul, which is your personality, your mind, your will, your thoughts, your emotions, all in the area of your soul. But your body is just your earth suit. It's just a temporary thing. Aren't you glad? Amen. Last time you looked in the mirror, you said, I'm glad I ain't going to have to hang on to that thing forever. And the extra baggage, right, brother? Yeah, yeah, I'm with you on that. So, a spirit of fear, a demon spirit of fear, would have to be allowed access through one of your sensory gates to be able to affect your soul. And you can stop it out here with a word, just by quoting scripture. God's not given me a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. I rebuke that. I reject that. I take that thought captive in Jesus' name. Or just, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. So you just say something out loud, and you stop that spirit from being able to penetrate your soul. It has to have a gateway. I don't encourage you to watch horror movies. We're about to go into October. Television will be covered with all kinds of horror movies. Now, when I was growing up, we did watch horror movies. We watched Dracula. We watched vampire movies. We watched Wolfman, you know. How many of you older folks know what I'm talking about? They are not anything like they are today. Okay. And I wouldn't even, they are not even scary when you look at them today. They're like, I can't you believe we watched that. That was just stupid, you know. And I remember one of the things we did when we first got married, we watched Friday Night Fright Night. Every creature feature or whatever it was, at 11:30 it came on, you know. And we would, I don't know why we watched that. And, you know, it wasn't like a demon thing. It was always some guy, you know, coming after somebody that should have been smart enough to know that he's right behind the door. You know what I'm talking about. And so those are the kind of movies. We did watch those. And I remember one time when we were first married, and I was a Marine, and I was at Cherry Point, North Carolina, and I had duty once a month. Duty was basically that I had to show up on the base and go stay at the single men's barracks and babysit a bunch of grown men and stay there overnight, and that was duty. I had to have duty once a month. So once a month, I had to be away from Pam, and I'd go stay at the barracks all night long. Well, that one particular night, Pam was watching a scary show, and you may remember it. It was called Blackula. A black Dracula. And she's watching this show, Blackula, you know. And next thing you know, I get a call on the telephone, you know. And she says, it's about 12:30 at night. She says, what you doing? I said, what are you doing calling me at 12:30 at night? She said, I was watching Blackula and I can't sleep. And so she called me about 3 or 4 times that night. I think she stayed up cleaning house till about 4 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, but we know how silly that stuff was. It's not real, you know. There's no Blackula, right? I mean, or Dracula. But those things, the fear enters, has to enter a sensory gate. You know, the 5 sensory gates you have are your eye gate, your ear gate, even smell can trigger thoughts. Smell of a perfume, smell of a cologne, a certain smell, taste, a certain food, touch. Those can be entry points by which even a spirit of fear could enter your soul if you allowed it. And so we have to understand today it's a dangerous thing. And a lot of young people don't know what they're messing with. They don't. They don't know they're messing with witchcraft. They don't know that they're opening a door for demonic activity and demonic oppression, demons in there. They don't realize a lot of it. They really are ignorant about a lot of it. But some of them are. They do know what they're doing. And they just blatantly just say, come on, you know, thinking that it's going to empower them in some way, which it doesn't. And so we understand that fear is a form of death, actually. It's a form of death. Death and all that goes with it. You know, sickness is a form of death. Disease is a form of death. Fear is a form of death. Poverty, attacking your finances, is a form of death. And remember, none of those things happened until after sin in the Garden of Eden. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no poverty. Nothing until sin in the Garden of Eden. So the wages of sin is death. And so that brought death into the earth. But Jesus went to the cross and he bore all our sin. Not some of it, all of it. And you'd be surprised, people in church who really have a hard time, they choke on that. Yeah, all of it. Even sins you haven't committed yet, he bore all of it. Every bit. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Death. In any form. And he's trying to get you and I to agree with death that he sends by activating fear with our mouth. Agreeing. Let me try to give you some understanding of that. For example, we said the number one fear was the fear of death among Christians. And we said, well, it's not actually the fear of death itself, it's the process. Do you probably don't realize, but probably the greatest day of your life is going to be the day of your death. And the devil has perverted your thinking that, oh, I don't know. It's going to be the greatest day of your life. You stepping out of this limited body, maybe sickness, disease, whatever, all the troubles, and into the presence of the Lord. And glory like you've never seen before. It's going to be the greatest day of your life. But the devil doesn't want you to think like that. See, if we really believe that, then we would handle a lot of things that have the fear of death that come at us differently. For example, this is what Scripture says out of Hebrews chapter 2. It says, since all God's children have flesh and blood, Jesus became human to fully identify with us. He did this so he could experience death and annihilate the effects of the intimidating accuser who holds against us the power of death. By embracing death, Jesus sets us free from it. And those who live all their entire lives in bondage to the tormenting dread of death. We are never to fear death. And even when the devil suggests the process, we shouldn't even fear. It's better to be free from fear rather than have to be delivered from fear. It's better to stay clear of it. In the absence of fear, there's no torment. The Bible says there is no fear in love. No fear. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has what? Torment. Satan was the number one terrorist, the first terrorist. He comes to bring terror into your life. He can only do it if you will allow the fearful thought to come in and agree with it. Oh, yeah. Oh, that can happen, or that's going to happen. And when you put faith in fear, fear is activated in your life. I know people have a hard time with this, but we're supposed to be absolutely fearless. Absolutely fearless. Well, preacher, are you absolutely fearless? Probably not. But we're supposed to be going there, where we fear nothing. We're supposed to be panic-proof. We really are. 365 times Jesus said, fear not. We're supposed to be free of fear every day of our life, free of all fear. You mean if someone came up to you and pointed a gun at your face, you wouldn't be afraid? I hope I get to the point where I wouldn't be. Would I right now? I don't know. Anybody got a gun? You want to try it? Come on. I don't know. I'm not trying to be cocky. I'm trying to be real. I probably still have to deal with stuff, you know. Amen. Sudden things that happen to you, and you got to get nervous about it and everything. But we're supposed to get to the place where we just don't have any fear. Can you imagine how differently people live who don't have any fear whatsoever? They live bolder. They live like Jesus. They live just like Jesus. Never panicked. Never in a hurry. Never worried. Worry is a form of fear. The devil tries to oppress us. Oppression has to come from the outside. Do you realize? The devil's not on the inside unless you got a devil that needs to be cast out of you. He's on the outside, and he's trying to put pressure on you from the outside. He's always an oppressor. Oppression means being subject to unjust treatment or control. Mental pressure, worry, stress, fear. How are we going to pay this bill? What are we going to do if this happens? Our car breaks down. Where are we going to get the money? All that is coming from the outside to pressure you. And you may not realize it. That's demonic. It's demonic. It's torment. Anything that has torment is from the devil. Anything that has torment is from the devil. When you're asking, if you're dealing with somebody and you suspect that they might be have a demon on the inside that's causing them trouble and distress, ask them this question: are you in torment? And the demon will immediately say yes through their voice, and you'll know it's demonic. Torment is from the devil. First, one of the first times we ever dealt with a demon was in a Baptist church, and a lady came forward. Most of you know the story. I'll tell you the short version. And the only way I really recognized that it was a demon, because I already led her through the sinner's prayer, and she's already saved, because that's about all I knew how to do. And we laid hands on her and prayed for her, and she wasn't getting any better. She started manifesting and all this kind of stuff. And it surprised me what came out of my mouth. It had to be the Holy Spirit. And he just said, I said out of my mouth, I said, are you in torment? And I never asked anybody that question in my life. I said, are you in torment? And immediately she said, yes, yes, I'm in torment. And then I felt sweat trickling down my pants legs, and I knew it was a demon. I knew it was a demon. And so we proceeded to cast that thing out in the name and the authority of Jesus, and it went. But it was demonic. I'm telling you, torment is from a demon. If you're having torment in the middle of the night, you're tormented. It's demonic. And if you don't deal with it that way, you can't counsel a demon out of you. You have to cast it out of you. You understand? Huh?
Praying. You really can't pray it out. Jesus said we have the authority He gave us the authority, and he made us responsible for that, to cast it out. And I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, well, I pray all the time, and, you know, I'm hearing these things. And I said, you have to stop praying about it. You need to just start commanding them, shut your mouth and get out of here in Jesus' name. He gave me authority over you. Now get. And, you know, so you can't just pray it out. You have to use your authority and cast it out.
Good point. That's a good point. Yeah. Good point, brother.
Some of the times where we're in that situation, the Holy Spirit has ministered to me and said, what legal right does that demon of torment have? And so did I give it legal right in any way or shape or form? When I have, I acknowledge that, I confess that, I repent of it, I renounce that, and I receive forgiveness in Jesus' name. And you unclean spirit of torment, I take authority of you, and I command that you loose my mind, body, soul, and spirit to the abyss of hell, be gone in Jesus' name. But it's the sense of sometimes, not all the times, but the sense is that sometimes there's a door. Somehow there we've given an access one way or another. And that's not for me to ask a demon to tell me, hey, no conversation with demons. I'll ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, reveal to me if there's any way that I have given ground to that unclean spirit of torment in any way. And then the Holy Spirit will minister to me. If I need to repent of it, I do. I renounce it. I break it. And then I take authority over that unclean spirit and I command it to leave.
Very good, brother. I wish that we had grown up in a church that had taught us about those things, but they didn't. So we would kind of go to the bookstore and we'd go over to the charismatic section when we were Baptist and kind of make sure nobody's looking at us. And we'd pull off books about, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to know about that. Speaking in tongues, well, I want to know about that. And casting out devils. And so we'd read the books back then that were like Pigs in the Parlor and some of the old classics, you know, that we learned from other people's experiences. It'd been great if we'd have learned from our own experiences in church, but that eventually came. But we be glad you're in a church that believes the whole Word of God. Be glad that you have a church of people that have experience to back it up as well. And so I want you to understand the anointing that's on Jesus. He's the anointed. Messiah means anointed. Christ means anointed. Christ is not his last name. Christ means anointed, means Messiah. And so Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed of God. He's the Son of God. We're sons of God, but he's the Son of God. Okay. And so here is what the Bible says about Jesus, the anointed. It says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus, who went about doing good, healing all who were what? By who? Okay. That anointing that's on Jesus is now on people who are born of the Spirit of God, born of God, called Christians, or anointed ones. The same anointing on Jesus is on you if you're born of God. And you are to go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. You know, one of the best ways you can spot somebody who's being oppressed by the devil? I'm asking a question. You're supposed to say, no, how can we? Teach us, Rabbi. Well, it takes one to know one. What you have been through and you saw it was demonic and you dealt with that, or somebody came along and helped you. Now you have the authority and the confidence to step in there and help somebody else. Takes one to know one, brother. Drug addicts can spot other drug addicts in the room. Spirits of perversion can spot another person right across. Person can be over here and have a spirit of perversion in them, a homosexual spirit of a perversion, of twisted, whatever, and they can spot somebody way over there on the other side of that room over there have the same thing. How does that get pointed out to them? The devil. So if it can happen in the negative, it can happen in the positive. The positive side of that is that now you use what things you have been through as your credentials to spot things in other people. I spot people who are depressed because I've been one who's dealt with a lot of depression. I spot it in people. It doesn't take me long. I can be right there and I go, man, they're dealing with depression, you know. And I can help them somewhat, you know, if they want help. And you can help somebody with something you've gone through. It's called redemption. Hallelujah. Now, all right. So, God does not want his people to live under the oppression of the devil, especially when we don't have to. In the Old Testament, here's what his plan was in the Old Testament, Isaiah 54:14. This was God's plan to his covenant people in the Old Testament before people were born again. He said, in righteousness you will be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, because it won't come near you. You see how God intends for us to be fearless? We're to be different from the world. So it's God's will that we be fearless and be free from all forms of oppression. Worry is a form of oppression. Somebody here tonight's been worrying. Worry is a form of oppression. Deal with it. God does not want you to sit there and take a beating. Now, just because Jesus came and set us free, it's not automatic. Amen. Fear comes by meditating on what the devil's saying. And faith comes by meditating on what God's saying. So who you been listening to? Just who you been listening to. Meditation is just thinking over and over and over again on something. Meditation on the Word and the Word of God will grow your faith and grow your spiritual strength. If you want to get stronger in the Lord, you have to get serious about meditating on the Word. That means going over, take one verse and just chew on it. Make it a prayer. Go for a prayer walk with God and just talk about that one scripture. God is my refuge, my strength, very present help in trouble. God, thank you that you're my refuge in the storm. Thank you, Lord. I found that you're the strength of my life. You see, and just preach to yourself, Joey. You just preach to yourself. You're the best preacher you've ever heard. I'm serious. Preach to yourself in the car. I was preaching to myself in the car the other day. I had to get my phone out and send myself some emails real quick because I didn't want to lose what great stuff I heard coming out of my mouth. I said, you need to use it. Email to Gary Washburn, message for Sunday, and I'd rather say what it is, you know. And then, huh? Where's the bouncer? Take care of that, man. Now, take for example, now, I want to help you tonight. I want you to go out of here and I want you to practice something. There's no sense coming to church on Wednesday night. You say, oh, yeah, okay, and then walk out and forget what you had, and then you don't put it into practice. There's no purpose in that. So here's something I want you to do, okay? Here's a scripture, and I'm basing everything on Ephesians 5:18-19. Everybody can do this. Bible says, be filled with the Spirit of God, okay? Be filled up with the things of God, okay? And then he says, speaking to who? Speaking to who? So talking to yourself is healthy. You've already been doing it anyway. You might as well admit it. I talk to myself all the time. I don't even stop anymore when I pull up at a stoplight and I can tell somebody's looking at it. Who's he talking to? I just figure they may think I got my speakerphone on or something. I don't care anymore, you know. So speaking to yourselves in what? In hymns and spiritual songs. The Psalms. The Psalms were songs at one time. Psalm 23 was a song. David wrote that as a song. Where did he get that from? Meditating. Probably out there on a starry night, sitting out there with the sheep. They're bedding down, and he gets his little guitar out, and he starts plucking out a tune, and The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he'd go over and it's just, he'd just start creating something. You say, well, I'm not musical. Yes, you are. I can't sing. Yes, you can. It may not sound good, but you can. And you probably just need to practice. And who cares what it sounds like to anybody else? Unless you're doing a solo or something like that. But it sounds really good to God. And it's a form of worship. It's a form of freedom. Now, look at this closely with me. This is something you are supposed to be doing. This is how you meditate. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making what? In where? And it's to Him. It's not for me to sing to you. It's between you and God. You're a songwriter and you didn't know it. You're a poet and didn't know it. You are. And as you meditate on one scripture, just get one. Just get one. You got those little cards this last week, Psalm 46. Just get this card. Keep it with you. Just go over one verse a week. Just go over it. And think about it. And then speak it out. And as you meditate on it, be playful. Play with the words. Play with some sounds. Maybe there'll be a familiar tune in your head. And you're not making a song to go on the radio. You're just creating a song that's a melody that you're hearing from inside your heart back to God. It doesn't even have to rhyme. It doesn't even have to sound good. You just release it, you see. God is my refuge. God is my strength. A very present help in trouble. It doesn't sound good to anybody here, but it's creating something, see. And you can get better with it. I've been going to sleep with that tune in my head for about a week now. I'm telling God, can you turn that off at night? Let me go to sleep. You know, it's just been there. But here's the point. It's healthy meditation. Try it privately this week. When you're driving in the car, one verse of scripture, just take it. Be playful with it. You can, even if you're not familiar, well, I don't know how to create a melody. Well, then take a song you already know. Do you know that the hymns that we used to sing in the Baptist hymn book, most of those were songs written to barroom tunes. So when the hymns came out, the church rejected the hymns. Yeah, How Great Thou Art. They rejected all that stuff because the tunes were to familiar sounds that people were used to hearing. How many commercials that you can you sing the jingle to right now? Because it just comes to you. I wish I could think of some right now. Help me, somebody. You know, it's just there. And you take scripture and you create a melody to the Lord. While you're working, while you're vacuuming, while you're washing dishes. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is my refuge, God is my strength, of every present help, of every present help. You got one?
Yeah, I've got one. I happened to, one evening I was singing to God, and it was fixing to rain, and I didn't realize that I had left the window open on my car, and I was just singing, you know, how much I love you, Lord, and he said, yes, I love you too, but you need to go roll up your window. And when I went and rolled up the window of the car, you know, because it's electronic, so you turn it on and the radio comes on. It was Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. Ooh. Timing is everything when you're dealing with God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that wasn't a coincidence, was it? You're right, Jennifer. God likes that. I mean, he's right on it. He's right on it. So I even thought about creating a workshop here on Wednesday nights and everybody's going to be a songwriter before you leave, but just relax. I'm not going to put you under that kind of pressure. You could do that more privately, but you should practice that. You should practice that. During pre-service prayer on September 9th, I wrote this out of my journal today. During the pre-service prayer time, when we're, you know, we got some music playing and we're being still and we're listening for God, and there's scriptures sometimes on screens and sayings. And once I finally settled down, was really still on the inside, I heard this: pray, pray, pray. Help your church pay attention to my words. And I hesitated to even put that up there because I knew that wasn't me. I've never said this church is my church. I always said it's his church. That's not my way of saying it. But God said to me, help your church pay attention to my words. So I knew that was him. And I wrote that down. I've held on to that. And it's the first time I ever told anybody is tonight. God is serious about you and me paying attention to his word. He doesn't get sick and tired. It's just my way of saying it. But it's like God is really tired with us going through the motions of worship and it not benefiting anybody. I mean, you hear good preaching. I know that. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I know that I'm hearing from the Lord and I know what I'm bringing to you. And whether it's Wednesday night or Sunday, I know that I'm not getting a sermon out of a book. I'm not preaching somebody else's message. I'm preaching what I believe that God has birthed in me over sometimes weeks, sometimes years, sometimes just that week. And so he brings it in here and then he co-labors with me to deliver it in a way that I always walk away just absolutely shocked. Because there's a lot of things that are said that I never planned to say. I went back the other night listening to a sermon, I think it was from Sunday. I hardly ever do that. I don't go back and listen to myself. But I went back and I was hearing part of it. I was some different things I wanted to hear. And then I started listening to the message and I said, man, that's really good. I need to listen to this guy more often. And my friend Quentin, I think he thinks I got a split personality or something, but he says, you need to listen to my pastor. Sometimes he's talking to me. He says, you need to listen to what he preaches, you know. And I sure would like to meet this guy one day. But serious, look at what I believe the Lord has said. He's talking to me about you and me. You've got to pay more attention to his word. And that's not just getting the Bible out and reading it. Because you can read and read and read the Bible and not even remember what you read an hour later. He's talking about meditate. Paying attention is I'm going to meditate. So it's better to take one verse of Scripture, Harry. One verse of Scripture. And just meditate till you got it. And you know you got it when you start singing about it. It just comes out while you're driving, while you're mowing the grass. It's just coming because now your spirit, you've given your spirit life-giving food and it's chewing on it and your spirit is getting nourishment and your spirit is getting stronger. You don't get stronger by reading the Bible. You get stronger by meditating on the Bible. Meditating, going over it, ruminating, chewing the cud. That's how you get stronger. Listen, there are people right now that have read the Bible from cover to cover and it didn't help them one bit. You've heard people that claim to be atheists. They say, I read the Bible from cover to cover, and they're not even converted. Reading the Bible will not help you. Meditating on it. It's meant to be meditated on. Joshua 1:8. Psalm 1. Meditate. Then you'll have good success.
If you just read it like it's just a book, it isn't really going to help you at all. But if you read it prayerfully and you ask Holy Spirit to speak to you through that word, He does. I mean, that's just how he works. He just does. but really, the word is there, you know, to help us. But if we're just reading it like a book, and people do that so they can say, I read it, then it does you no good.
Yeah, the teachers used to ask me back in school, did you read your homework? I said, sure, I read it. Zip, 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 gone. Just so I say, I read it. Did you get it? No. What's the point of reading the Bible if you're not going to get something? It's better to read a little bit and get one thing out of it that you know God's talking to, and then take that and meditate on that. Talk to God about it. Pray about it. Worship God with it. And say, God, now unfold this thing. It's like a flower. Unfold this thing to me. There's more here than I can see right now. More than I understand. Unfold it to me, God. All you need is one verse. Sometimes all you need is one word. Proverbs 4 says, my son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Keep them before your eyes. Don't let them slip away. Hold them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to all who find them and health to all their flesh. If you pay attention to God's word, according to what I just read, which is Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22. Proverbs 4. If you'll pay attention to His word, like He said, You incline your ear when you feel the Holy Spirit's talking to you. He's giving you a verse, giving you a life verse. He's giving you a scripture. He's giving you something to hold on to. I call these life verses. Everybody should have some anchor verses, life verses. There'd be two, three, four, five, six, maybe a dozen. I don't know. That to you are anchor verses that you go to when you have trouble. And you go to these verses and you've owned them now to where you quote them to yourself. You speak them out loud, or you write them on cards, or you have them on the wall in your house. These are your go-to verses, your anchor verses. So when the storm comes, you ain't going anywhere because you already got the Word of God. You know what God says about the matter, and it doesn't matter what the devil says. You ain't going anywhere. And so Proverbs is saying that if, my son, if you'll pay attention to my words like this, if you'll put my words in your eyes, if you'll put my words in your ears, if you'll put my words in your mouth, if you'll hide it in your heart, then it will bring life to you and health even to your flesh. That's what God said. Meditating on the word can heal your body. Maybe that's what you need. Turn off television. It's okay to watch television, but don't let it consume your life, and then spend some time meditating on the word, letting it go into you and soak you. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. It'll be health to all your flesh. Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's stand together. We're going to confess the Word of God, confess some things that we've learned tonight. You've got to learn, and I wished I had known this. You got something to say? Okay. I wished I had known this. One second. But we just weren't exposed to anything. I mean, we were exposed to some good teaching in the Baptist church. I'm never bashing the Baptist church. I'm still an ordained Baptist preacher. Can you believe it? I mean, I left the Baptist church, but they didn't come and take my papers away. So, I mean, if they wanted, they could have them, but nobody ever came and got them. So I'm, never mind, I'm just kidding. But I wish that we had been taught the importance of speaking the word out loud. I wish I had known that years ago. We just didn't know. But praise God, we do know now. And we're not ignorant anymore. And we're walking into new territory, and we're taking back what the enemy has stolen from us. And we ain't putting up with his junk anymore.
What God is showing me is an army. And we are his people, and therefore we are a part of his army. We're a part of the army of the Lord. And this is your leadership. And each and every single person here has chosen this man to lead you. And all he can do is supply you with what God gives him to supply you. It is up to you to apply it. But here's the thing that God was showing me as he was talking about prayer. We have prayer every Sunday morning. We have prayer Thursday. I don't know if that's still going on. We have prayer all the time going on in this church, but not many people show up. And we understand you have work, you have things to do, but your prayer is the most important. And the thing that God is showing me is because we do not, and I'm saying we because I'm talking to me here, it's not just you. Because we do not apply what we've been taught, because we're not willing to take the time to walk what we're supposed to walk, because we don't study him approved, we have no unity amongst the church. Not this building, because this is just a building. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about your brothers and sisters that go to a different church. I'm talking about the church. We have no unity amongst the church. And how can you? If you're not supporting your pastor by coming out to prayer and studying the words that he gives you and walking out what he's trying to get you to do, then how can you have the unity? And therefore, the body of Christ enables the enemy to come in and lay the things like depression, anger, bitterness. We don't have enough forgiveness in the body of Christ, and we don't. And I get a little excited. But my pastor knows me for a very long time. I get a little bit excited when God gives me a word and I get nervous because it's exciting what God wants to do. But if you want to see the greater miracles, because the Bible says greater things you will do, but we're not doing them. And it is because we are not united. We're not united in prayer. We're not united in our efforts. We're not united in anything we do. And even our families are falling apart. We have division amongst our families. We should not walk like that. We should walk united in everything we do. And we should be able to go through a storm without falling apart, without falling on the ground. We should be able to stand and say, God, you'll be with me on the other end. And that's what he's showing me. This army needs to come together. When an army goes out to war, it's not separated. It's not this guy, you do your thing, I do mine. They go together. They go united with a plan and an agenda. Well, the plan here is love, is God's love, is God's prayer, and it's God's time. And you need to surrender.
Amen, sister. Wow. Amen. Wow. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Let's say this boldly together. Because of Jesus, I am deeply loved by God, completely forgiven, fully pleasing, and totally accepted. I am filled with the love of God and have been redeemed from all fear. His perfect love cast out all fear. I boldly declare God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Because of this truth, I will not be afraid when the spirit of fear attacks. Instead, face everything and rise. You can't stop an attack from coming, but you can face it with faith and speak the word of God and rise up and be what you are called to be, the anointed one that destroys all the works of the enemy. That anointing of Jesus is on everyone who's born of the Spirit of God. You already have it. You don't need a preacher to pray over you. You have it. You don't need to be anointed with oil. You already have it. You just need to believe it, and then you speak it. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, I pray that Holy Spirit will take and remind everyone this week of something to apply to their life. And they'll be stronger as a result of being here tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for being here.